Well, today, as you can see in your packets, we're going to talk about a special, not person, but thing that God instituted. And this thing, okay, and we're going to talk about 10 of them because these 10 represent all of it. Yes, we're going to talk about the 10 commandments. Who likes to play laser tag? Okay, everybody likes to play laser tag, I'm assuming. If you were to go to Odyssey Fun World, when you go to Odyssey Fun World, you want to go play laser tag, could you ever just run into the place and everybody just start picking up their own stuff and playing? Somebody always comes, an employee, and they gather everybody up, and what do they do? Right. Patrice, you said you were driving on the expressway yesterday, right? Can anybody in here just get up and hop in a car and just go in any direction on the highway and just drive all around?
No.
You could die, right? You could die. Folks just can't get up and just do whatever they want on the road. I mean, if traffic is going this way, I just can't come around and feel like driving this way if I want to. Why?
You can get into a car accident.
That's the reason. So to do that, what has the government instituted? Laws. Right?
What he just said.
About driving?
Yeah.
There's a lot of rules about driving.
Yeah, so you can die. You can get into a car accident and you can get lost with no food.
Exactly. So we follow the rules. Just 5 minutes ago, who came in here to talk about some rules?
Deacon Brand
came in and he talked about some rules because we don't want to upset this school so that when they come in tomorrow, they look around and see things all messed up and then we can't come back next week and all of a sudden we won't have anywhere to meet for church. So we follow rules. Yes. So notice the main thing that's important here, okay, is that rules are never given just for the sake of giving rules. Okay, the government didn't just make up laws just so that there can be laws, so that somebody can be satisfied that there are laws. Okay, the end goal is so that everyone can be safe. And in order for there to be safety, we give rules. It's not that the guy who works in laser tag loves showing you an informational video about safety and loves giving you rules. He doesn't really care about the rules for themselves. He cares about you having fun. In order for you to have fun, we give
rules.
So notice how rules are, would they be more so the middleman or the main event?
Main event.
Rules are the main event? Rules are the middleman that support
the main event.
It's the same thing in the Bible, okay? God has given, welcome. God is giving the children of Israel laws, but who can tell me what that's supposed to be serving? Yes, supposed to be serving God. Exactly, that's in fact it. The big word last time was worship, right?
Yeah.
We talked about how the whole reason why God delivered them, had everybody read those 12 verses, and it said, let my people go that they may serve me, that they may serve me, they may worship me, they may worship me. That's still God's goal in the passages that we're reading. So in order to facilitate that, He's going to institute some rules. And we're going to learn those today. I just want to make sure that everyone understands, because the Ten Commandments, okay, are applicable to us. In the New Testament, Jesus affirmed the Ten Commandments. In other words, he said those commandments, they apply today. Okay, there are some things we're going to read in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. He said, y'all don't have to do that anymore. For example, did anybody bring a lamb into the building today to atone for your sin? Nobody did that, right? Why? Because Jesus fulfilled that. We don't have to do that anymore. But there are some things Jesus said, y'all gonna keep doing this. Okay. This is gonna carry over. Okay. The Ten Commandments apply to us today. He said, we're gonna keep those because that's a moral thing. We're gonna keep that. But it's for the same purpose, to drive worship. So your first blank where you can write. It says, God wanted the Israelites to be holy. And then it says, holy equals, and it's a blank. What does holy mean?
Worship.
Okay, think about it.
Think about it.
Think about it. Don't just blurt it out. Just begin to stick it. Not that.
Clean, pure. These are good words. I'll give you the technical definition. Write this down. Holy equals to be, two words, to be. Okay? And here's the main thing. Set apart. Okay? To be set apart. I have some water bottles here. I'm gonna put two right here. Okay, I'm gonna put them all together. Okay, we have three water bottles, all grouped up, right? Okay. For the purpose of this demonstration, which of these is now the holy water bottle?
The one that got set apart.
Exactly. It got set apart. Israel, okay, the people of Israel, were all kind of grouped in and munched with all these other nations, all these other people. But God said, I want you to be holy. In other words, I'm going to
set you apart.
For who?
Jesus.
Yes, for himself. He said, I want you to be set apart for me. So what I want you to pick up is holiness is relational. Okay, you don't have to write that down unless you're older and you want to. Holiness is relational. Okay, God sets you apart for himself. Okay? So Israel, God says, I want you to be holy. What we must understand is at this time, there are other nations. Okay, Israel, remember it was more than 600,000 of them that came out of Egypt. That's a whole bunch of folk, okay? They're becoming a nation. In America, we have certain things that make us different, right? Okay, we have a Declaration of Independence, we have a Constitution, we have monuments and memorials and wars and presidents and an organizational structure in the White House. There are certain things that are unique to America, but if you go even to Canada, they don't necessarily cross over. If you go down to Mexico, it's different, right? If you go over to England, it's different. They're a nation, and God says, I want to do some specific things that let everybody else know that these folk belong to me. I want you to be holy. So, that's your next blank. Law set Israel apart as a new right nation. Okay, N-A-T-I-O-N. N-A-T-I-O-N.
N-A-T.
I-O-N. God set Israel apart as a new nation.
N-A-T?
N-A-T-I-O-N. Okay?
N-A-T-I-O-N.
Okay? God set them apart. And the way that he did that was by giving them what is known as the law. Now, here's what I want you to know about the law, okay? The law is bigger than just these Ten Commandments, okay? There are actually, I mean, hundreds of laws, okay, that make up the law. What the Ten Commandments are, and you don't have to write this down, just remember it. These ten kind of summarize, in essence, what all the rest of the laws are about, okay? So anything else in the rest of the law is serving one of the things in these 10. Go ahead. Yeah, basically. Without getting into detail, we're just going to go over what the 10 commandments are. Any questions so far before we get into what they are? It's for the rest of the time, really. We're going to be learning what the 10 commandments are. So there's a couple games we're going to do. We're going to try to memorize these 10 commandments, okay? There's even a song. Go ahead, my brother. You know what the water is? It's what? Yes. Did you learn that in science this week? Last week? Nice. Okay, so first commandment. Okay, first one. Write this down. You shall have no other gods. Now, this is important. Are you going to use a big G or a little G?
Big G.
Little G. Little G. You shall have no other gods before one God. I heard KJ say it. I heard you say big KJ.
Big KJ.
I heard you say it. Chioki said little G.
Who?
You said little G. I don't keep up with that. I don't know who all said little G. I just heard a couple people.
Who did you say first over here?
Chioki, I heard say it. I heard you say it. Little gods. Little G. G-O-D-S. G-O-D-S. So you can write a little G.
Isn't that apostrophe
S? No. O-D-S. Gods. I'll help you out. Okay. You can write little G O D S. You shall have no other gods before God. Okay? What does that mean? I'll give you the answer. So by saying you shall have no other gods before God.
It means like you shouldn't worship anybody else.
Right. Only true God. Remember in Egypt, they had other gods who they believed in. They even believed that Pharaoh himself was God. So God, his first commandment, he's making this real plain with Egypt. Because one thing, and this is so important for everybody to realize with their entire life, there is one thing that God does not play with, and that is his glory. He does not play with his glory. Because the whole reason why we exist in the first place is to praise him. And so if we're not doing that, we're not doing the very thing that we were made to do. So he makes it plain to Israel and plain to us. Don't have any other gods before me. Now let me ask this, and this is going to tie into number two. The second commandment says, you shall have no idols. I-D-O-L-S. Okay, idols. You shall have no idols. No idols. Back in this time, okay, people didn't know too much about the world, okay? There wasn't that much discovery. There weren't smartphones. Everybody wasn't educated. They're still figuring out life. And so in this time, hold on one second, in this time, okay, people are coming up with all types of ideas about who is in charge of the universe. So folk kind of did some crazy things. Some folk would say stuff like, well, I believe this plant is going to be our God. I know y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, and you should. Okay, because it was that crazy. They say, I believe this object is going to be the one we worship. So they say, let's make this plant our God, and let's turn it into an idol. And that's what some folk did in some other nations. Some people would say, I like this speaker instead. Let's put this speaker up on a pedestal, and let's make this an idol, and worship this idol. I know, it's crazy, and it should be. They didn't want a living, breathing, fierce, merciful, loving God that we serve. They said, no, we're going to serve some dead, inanimate, non-emotive object. And so God makes it plain. It should be crazy to you. He said, you shall have no idols. Now, let me ask this, though. Y'all kind of look at me like I'm crazy, you know, idols. You know, we don't do that today. But do we have idols?
Yes.
Like cars, like DS, like phones, even beds, Oh, we're not too different from the people in this time. We may not carve golden figures in the way that they did, but the heart behind this is don't put objects before God as the focus of your attention. And it's so easy for all of us, every single last one of us, to get so consumed with our objects, especially ones like this, that this can become your God. You shouldn't do that, because what it suggests is that this has the authority in your life, but this didn't even wake you up this morning. Just things to think about. We're going to keep going. We're going to come back to them in more detail, but I need to get through at least all 10. Okay. Third commandment, you shall not use God's name disrespectfully. In vain. You can just write name disrespectfully is the term I used, but name in vain is the same idea. Okay. Name. N-A-M-E. You shall not use God's name disrespectfully. Okay. This means a little more than OMG, okay? It does mean that, but mainly, okay, especially back in this time, and it should be the same today, but we've kind of lost this. When you use God's name, it officialized things. So, for example, when people would make an oath with one another or an agreement, you know, it could be something as simple as something to do with land or property. They would make it official by invoking the name of God. And if God was brought into it, then it was for real. And God is saying, listen, don't use my name disrespectfully. For example, don't use my name to make an agreement and then you don't follow through on it. Mm-hmm. That's why he says, let your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes.
What, like, if somebody say, I swear to God, isn't that using his name?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Right, because people be telling me to do that. And I'm like,
no.
No.
Wow.
No. Good point. Good point. Here we go.
He is. But jealousy is different in God's usage than in ours. We can talk about that later, but it's different. Because remember, we're tainted by sin, so our jealousy comes out of sin. God is holy and perfect. His jealousy comes out of holiness. So that's the difference. Okay, do not use God's name disrespectfully. Yes. Yes. Don't use God's name disrespectfully. Okay, because the thing about a name is that a name represents all that there is about the person. Has anyone ever heard, we're going to bless the name of the Lord today? Anybody ever heard that? We're going to bless the name, bless the name. Because name is representative of all that there is of the person. Okay? That's why Jesus' name, that's why when we in prayers, we say what? In the name of Jesus, exactly. We're invoking his name. We're suggesting that everything we just prayed is in agreement with all that is Jesus. And we can't just play around with that. For example, we can't pray prayers that aren't biblical and then end it with, in the name of Jesus. We can't say stuff like, God, I'm mad that my friend got the new coat before I did. Can you help her lose her coat and never get one again? In the name of Jesus, amen. Ooh. That prayer don't work. You can't just use the name of Jesus, but you're going to pray stuff that Jesus wouldn't agree with. And how do we know what Jesus agrees with? It's in the Bible. So you have to know what's in the Bible to know what to pray for in order to use the name of Jesus. Folk pray prayers all the time using the name of Jesus, and they don't even know Jesus. That don't work. Number four, I got to keep going. We got to get through these.
Honor your mother and father.
Yes.
No.
Honor your father and mother.
No, you said it too quick. That doesn't count, KJ. I'm sorry.
Honor your father. I got to get through these fast.
Mother and father.
So that we can get to these activities, okay? Yes. Honor your father and mother, okay? This is, okay, the first commandment given, okay, with a promise attached to it. God says, honor your father and mother. That's the truth.
Who said
that? That's in the book.
No, I said that like 16 times.
And Patrice did too. It's in the book. Honor your father and mother, you will have long life. Honoring your father and mother.
Come on.
I want you all to shout out to me. Just, you don't even have to raise your hand. How you honor your father and mother? Obeying. Love. Do everything you can. Follow the rules. Okay. Okay. So it sounds to me like you all know how to honor your father and mother, right? Okay. So I'm not going to explain that. I'm just going to say, do it. Because we know how. We know how. Number five. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it
holy.
Holy. Holy. Holy. So here's the thing about the Sabbath day, okay? Here's the thing about the Sabbath day.
The Sabbath day, isn't that when you shed the blood on the door?
Oh, no, Passover. Originally, okay, and still in Jewish culture, the Sabbath is on Saturday, okay? That is their day of rest. We have our Sabbath on Sunday, okay? Remember how I said that the things that had to do with culture, Jesus fulfilled? Okay, but what applies to us is this idea that there is a day that you set aside in your week, okay? Keep it holy, so you do what? Set apart in your day to rest, okay? 6 days God created, but on the seventh day he what? So this commandment's origins are literally rooted in God's own activity, okay? It's not that God needed the rest like he was tired, okay? He's God. It's not that he got tired. It's this notion of pausing to reflect back on all you've done, okay, and appreciate the goodness of the Lord. So God patterned this for himself. He stopped and looked at his own goodness, okay? And we ought to do the same. There should come a day where we just stop and rest. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Okay?
So when they say like keep it holy, so you just pick a day of the week that you choose to be your Sabbath day? Like for you to just rest?
You can. You can. We're not underneath Jewish, which is another term for Israelite, we'll learn that, like, law, so to speak, where it has to be on Saturday. So, theoretically, you can have your Sabbath be on, like, a Thursday. For most people in the United States, we pick Sunday because that's typically a non-work day. And it's not a Saturday where we're typically shopping, hustling, bustle. I got to get a whole bunch of stuff done and don't get an opportunity to rest. So typically we pick Sunday. But other people's work schedules can vary. Some people have to work on a Sunday and therefore it makes their Sabbath be on another day. Okay, number six. This one's pretty plain. Six is murder. You shall not murder. Eight is steal. Seven is adultery. But hold on. Six. Hold on. Let's just stay in order. The sixth commandment, you shall not murder.
You shall not commit adultery.
Can I do seven?
No, I want to do seven.
Or kill. Yeah, kill. You shall not kill.
Can I do seven?
No, I do seven. That's the only one I know.
Okay. This one I feel like is also pretty self-explanatory.
Go.
No, not, well, yeah. But just a brief note on murder. Is killing, is that a good thing?
No.
Okay. Right. So this is one that even in the United States and our justice system, this is a commandment that we still uphold. Don't kill. Yes. Okay, well, let's go now to number seven. Hold off on that. You shall not commit adultery. Okay. Adultery. Yeah, that's fine. Adultery is spelled A-D-U-L-T-E-R-Y. A-D-U-L-T-E-R-Y. Adultery. Yeah, don't cheat on your spouse.
Okay, wait. Isn't another thing?
Don't cheat on your spouse. That's what that means. Cheating. Here's the thing, and I'm going to make a brief note about this because we're not in a study of marriage. Okay, I'm going to make a brief note about this. Marriage was instituted by God himself. Okay, marriage is a covenant. Okay, covenants are agreements between God and man, right? So a lot of people think that marriage has to do with them and their spouse, but that's not right. Marriage more so has to do with the two of you and God. So when you cheat on your spouse, you're going out of that covenant and physically engaging with somebody else. And in other words, you're violating your covenant with God. So don't commit adultery, okay? Yes.
So if someone is married, okay, say there's a man and he has a wife, and he's cheated multiple times, does he go straight to hell just for that?
Well, no, because as we're going to talk about, do our works ever save us? No.
He goes down there.
You don't ever go to hell for things you do. You only go to hell for not believing in Jesus Christ. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. You only go to hell for not professing Jesus and not believing in him. Yes. Here's the thing I'm going to ask you. Have any of you in here sinned in the past week?
Yeah.
Are any of you concerned about going to hell, though? You shouldn't be. Why? When we sing about the blood of Jesus, we say it'll never... Hold on, listen. Because this is important. Listen. The blood of Jesus, okay, we say never loses its power. In other words, it applies to sin that is committed continuously. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." So if you believe in him, your sins are covered. Now, there's other implications I will talk about when it comes to heavenly rewards, because there are rewards in heaven, and that is based on works we do. But in terms of your entrance into heaven in the first place, that's not a matter of works. Now, there are people who believe that. For example, Catholic religion believes that your works determine whether or not you get to heaven. So you always find people living on the edge. I got to do this. I got to do this right. Because if I don't, I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to heaven. But your memory verse talks about this. So hold that thought. We're going to come back to that at the end because your memory verse, Ephesians 2:8, addresses this specifically. Hold on real quick. For time's sake, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to give you the rest. Number 8, you shall not steal. Steal, that's very similar to murder in the sense. It's pretty self-explanatory. Just don't do it. What? If you steal... Yes, exactly. Yeah, some of these are interconnected.
So, the cross that Jesus was on, doesn't matter what cross he gets on, or just like a certain cross he's supposed to get on?
It didn't so much matter the type of cross that he got on. Yeah, it didn't. That didn't so much matter.
The sixth commandment, murder. Okay, if somebody, like say somebody break into your house and they try to kill you, you have a right to kill them back, right?
No.
It's not a matter of, I mean, we can get into a whole topic about self-defense, okay? And there are biblical grounds for that, okay? Self-defense doesn't have to lead to murder. And this is more so referring to senseless, voluntary murder. We'll talk about that later, okay? We'll talk about that later. Okay, number 9. You shall not lie on your neighbor. Lie. L-I-E. 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 Okay, don't lie on folk. L-I-E. Okay. Yes. It's a C word. I'll give it. The tenth one is you shall not covet.
Covet.
C-O-V-E-T. Yes. Not covenant. Covet. Okay. And like it says in parentheses, when you covet something, you're jealous of it. Okay. So in other words, it's saying, oh, sister girl got a new coat. I want a new coat. Oh, bruh man got new shoes. I want new shoes. Look at the house that they just bought. I want a house they got. Look at her new car. I want a car that they just got. Look at his new PlayStation. I want that new PlayStation. They got a good grade. I want that good grade. You're coveting what belongs to somebody else. Why is that bad? Why is that bad? Well, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. One reason is certainly that it is often promoting materialism. And in relationship to God, what are you basically saying to God when you're always jealous of what other folk have?
You're not giving me nothing.
I appreciate what you give me.
Right, right. If you can inhale and exhale, you have life. If you know Jesus, you have all that you need. But when you're always, I want what they got, and they got this, and the newest thing that, and the newest thing that, it's basically telling God, what you've given me isn't enough. I need more. I need more. I need more. And it's not being appreciative, okay? Yeah, don't do that either. Right. Okay, so real quick. These are the Ten Commandments, okay? I want to make a couple of notes about this, so if I could have everyone's attention, please, for just a couple more moments. First of all, something interesting came up a moment ago. Someone asked me, if you murder, okay, will you go to hell? Somebody asked me, if you're a Christian and you murder, will you go to hell?
No.
Here's what I want. Chioki, can you read our memory verse at the bottom?
But by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one saves both.
Okay. How have we been saved? By what?
Jesus Christ.
Look in the verse itself. By grace through faith. Grace through faith. Grace, okay. The meaning of grace is when you, hold on, everybody listen, please. Grace is when you give somebody something they don't deserve. Salvation, going to heaven, being with Jesus forever is a gift. That's right in the text. Don't you see it? And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. God gave us salvation. Because the Bible says in Romans that no man seeketh after the Lord in his own heart, for all are wicked by themselves. It takes this person that we're going to talk about in a couple weeks, the Holy Spirit, okay, making us alive to God in order for us to even see Jesus. We think that in our moment of salvation that we chose God, but as we're going to continue to learn, we only are able to choose him because, as he says in John 15, he first chose us. So it feels like we choose him, but in reality, well before we were born in the foundations of the earth, God looked down and said, I'm going to choose them, give them the experience of choosing me. But in reality, no man can choose God on his own, because why? We all have a what nature?
A
sin nature. So remember this, and if anybody ever tells you that your works determine your entrance into heaven, that's why I'm having you remember this, because I want you to be able to say, not the result of works. And what's the reason that Paul gives? So that no man may what?
Sin.
No, look in the text. So that no man may?
Boast.
Boast. What is boasting?
Bragging.
Here's the reason why we're not saved by works. If I was to go to heaven based on the things that I did, when I got to heaven, who am I going to thank?
God.
No. If, no. Listen, if I earned my way to heaven, yes, I'm going to thank me when I get to heaven. But I'm going to go way back to what I first said. What does God not play with? His glory. The whole reason why he made us was to glorify him, right? So if we earn our way, when we get to heaven, we would glorify ourselves. So the whole reason why God says, I'm going to make you incapable of choosing me and I'm going to choose you, is so that now we can say things like, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Not I earned my way, but he came to me and pulled me out of Egypt and brought me now into the promised land. And I'm going to thank him for that. That's our salvation. We don't earn anything. We don't earn anything. Next week, we'll pick up, though, with Ephesians verse 10, because the text says after that, okay, the verse says after that, that you were created for good works. So it's this idea of your works did not save you, but now that you're saved, do good works. Okay? You get that?
Yes.
That makes sense? Does that click? Okay, you're going to do good things not to save you, but because you are saved, do good works. We're going to talk more about that because I think only 3 people in here got that. But we're going to spend some more time on that next time. Come back. Okay, we're going to spend some more time on that.